I was speaking with a new client the other day, and she was saying that she had all these things that she really wanted to do, but that her husband stopped her. And then she said a little bit later, her kids stopped her. And then she talked about other people who stopped her from being able to do what she really wanted to do. And as we explored it further, it became clear that, as with most of the things that we're exploring here, the obstacles might have been real, but they weren't what was stopping her from moving forward. So, by way of example, let me sort of draw a visual model of how our relationships with other people are created in our own minds. So, we've kind of already established that people think, but that thinking doesn't look like thought a lot of the time. It looks like the real world that we're looking at. And one of the things that kind of often appears in that thinking is another person, a person that we've got some thinking about, that we think is good or bad or right or wrong, or is going to make our life forever, or is ruining our life right now. And we don't realize that the person we're struggling with is the one that we're making up in our mind. Now, that's not to say there aren't other people, right? There are other people. And the thing about them is that they think, and their thinking often looks completely real to them, and they deal with it as if that's the source of their joy and the source of their problems and the source of their feelings. And so we live in this really interesting world where we think we're dealing with other people all the time, when in fact we're occasionally dealing with other people and mostly dealing with our own imaginations, mostly dealing with our own unrecognized thoughts. Now, something really interesting starts to happen when you become aware of this, is the images come and go more. They become shimmery. And instead of constantly arguing with the imaginary person in our head, we start to have real conversations with the person outside our head. We start to see them more as they are and less as we've made them up to be. Now, the really cool thing is that when you can be with another person, as opposed to the version of them you make up in your head, you start to see that we're already connected. We're already part of this same energy, part of this same, like I talked about in the last session, this same life force, this same spirit power. So actually, the kind of connection we crave with others is what's naturally there when we're not using all our time and energy up in our heads arguing with imaginary people. Now, when I was talking with my client about this, she pointed out, she said, but sometimes they really do not want me to do what I want to do. And I said, I'm sure that's true. But think of it like this. 95% of the problems you have that you think are other people are your own mind conjuring up images of the other people as the source of the problem. And maybe 5%, hey, let's be generous, maybe 10% are actually the other person. The problem is, we're terrible at discerning which is which. There's an old story told by David Ogilvy about advertising, and he was talking about how one of his clients, Ogilvy Advertising, was one of the big advertising agencies in the 70s and 80s. And one of his clients once said, you know, half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. The problem is I don't know which half. Well, more than half of, I'm going to say 95% of what makes other people seem like your obstacle isn't really other people. It's the version of them you've made up in your head and you argue with and fight with and get mad at and exhaust yourself. So there's an old joke about a man who goes to borrow his neighbor's stepladder. And on his way over, he's thinking about how the conversation's gonna go. And he imagines his neighbor mentioning the fact that, you know, he took him a while to return the lawnmower that he'd borrowed. But in his head, that was fair because it took the neighbor ages to get around to returning the hose that he borrowed. So it was only fair that he kept the lawnmower a bit longer. And actually, it was really ridiculous that he would even bring it up, because all he was doing is he wanted to borrow the stepladder to trim the tree that really was technically his neighbor's tree leaning over into his yard and leaving leaves in his yard. And by the time he gets to the neighbor's door, he rings the doorbell, his neighbor answers and goes, "Hey, Bob," and he goes, "You can keep your damn ladder." Well, that's extreme, but actually, we're all doing that all the time. Now, what I want to do is I want to share with you one more story and a sort of a simple exercise that will help you to be able to be in that connection more often. Now, the reason that matters is that when somebody can feel that connection with us, when they feel connected to us, they're much more receptive to working with us to create what we want. When somebody feels like we need something from them, you know, they can feel the neediness. There's an expression in sales, needy is creepy. And that neediness makes them inclined to say no before we even ask. So this is going to kind of help you experience the difference between connection and the kind of neediness or upset or prejudging prejudice that we get when we make up the conversation in our own head before we ever have it in the real world. And this is a conversation about a man named Lloyd. And I met Lloyd once, and he found it very odd and disturbing that he was a hero to me, because he was a character in a true story that I'd read in a book called Modelo, A Story of Hope. And it was a story about some amazing work that some teachers who worked from the understanding that I'm speaking to you from, this understanding of how the mind works and how we live in these thought-created realities, but behind them, there's a deeper wisdom that will guide us if we let it. There's a kind of a deeper intelligence, a real-time knowing that will help us move forward in our lives if we're not so distracted by what's going on in our heads. And Lloyd was the first person that they hired to work on this project. He had just gotten his master's degree in sociology, and they were bringing him into a community in South Florida that had one of the highest murder rates in America. And it was an area that was considered so dangerous that the police would only go in packs, and they wouldn't go in after dark. And they told Lloyd about what it was, and they liked him. So they weren't really that interested in his experience. They liked the way he showed up. They could feel his energy. They could feel connected to him. He didn't have a lot on his mind in the way of him just being with them. And that was what they were looking for. So they said, "You're hired." He said, "Great. What's the job?" They said, "We want you to go into the community each day and get to know people and make friends with them." And he said, "Great. Then what?" They said, "No, that's the job. We want you to go into the community and get to know the people, really get to know them, connect with them." "Well, okay, yeah, no, I'm going to do that, but then what are we going to do?" "Nothing. We really just want you to get to know people, connect with them." Because they knew that if there was that sense of connection with the community, if there were things that needed to be done, there was a much stronger foundation from which to do them. But if he'd gone in with an ulterior motive, if he'd gone in to connect with them so that he could get them to do something, so that he could ask something of and they'd be receptive, so that people would feel the so that. They'd feel the agenda, and they just wouldn't feel his authentic humanity and warmth, which is why they hired him in the first place. And Lloyd did that, and he became a fixture in that community. And when they did go in and start working with the community, Lloyd was the person that both sides would go to when there were problems and when there were friction, because everybody knew Lloyd genuinely just liked them. He was connected to them. He had their back. So this is your homework. I want you to go out and I want you to get to know 5 people with no agenda at all other than to get to know them, to connect with them. And I'm going to suggest that at least one of those people is somebody that you live with, if you live with anybody, or somebody that you spend a lot of time with. Now, you might have so much agenda in your head about the people that you live with that that's going to be really hard. So start with the other 4.